Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Discover a healthcare team that's always here for you at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
A teacher, an astronaut, a dancer, a doctor. Children talk so often, don't they, about what they might want to be when they grow up. But when we get to that point in our lives, are we really prepared for the world of work? Well, this is something that career and work psychologist Sinead Brady has been writing about in her new book, Total Reset, Quit Living to Work and Start Working to Live. And Sinead is here now. You're very welcome, Sinead.
Thanks, Claire.
Congratulations on the book.
Thank you very much.
It's very topical.
It is.
Very topical, because
yes,
everybody had a bit of a reset, didn't they? During the pandemic. Now people are falling back into the old ways and getting on with it. But you talk about this age-old concept that our work and our careers are the most important, all-encompassing aspect of our lives, should take precedence over all else. And that's linked really to that concept now that we should all be always on. And there has definitely been a shift in that, would you agree?
100% agree. And the shift is for the better, Claire, because we're not an operating system. We're not a MacBook or a tablet or anything like that. We're not made to be on all of the time. Our body actually needs to switch off, to recover, to recuperate in order to be able to function in any way. And your brain and your body are completely linked to one another, and we must be able to switch off. So this notion of having to be constantly on in the 24/7 hustle, mm-hmm, is just something that we, in our paid and on unpaid lives.
But aren't we told, though, from junior infants all the way up, that if you want to be successful, you've got to work hard, whether it's at your dancing competition or your reading or your work?
100%. And our education system fuels and feeds our workplaces. And we have the most phenomenal educators, and my own children's school is an example of that. But every school, the curriculum is designed that children go in, sit down all day, every day in the one place, in the one space. And then at the end of the day, they come home, quickly eat something, and then start to do homework. And we're not actually teaching our children from the youngest of ages that it is important to switch off. We don't teach, and sadly, we have to teach people how to relax. And we're not teaching that to people. I mean, when my little girl, Cyrilla, was about to go to school, she went in for that taster day.
Yeah.
And she said to me when she came back out, she said, "Mommy, that was lovely." And I said, "Oh yeah, well, you're going to be there from September." And she said, "Oh, I don't think I'll bother." And I said, "Right." And she goes, "I don't want to sit in the same place all day, and I don't want to wear the same clothes every day."
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, it's hard to argue with.
Yeah.
So it's a bit like, you know, she kind of in her own little way sensed it. But it's just the way our education system is set up to map into the world of work.
And is that what younger people in particular are saying about careers now? I don't want to sit at that desk for the rest of my career, and I don't want to fit into that space for the next 40 years.
Absolutely. And I mean, there's an example of it in the book of a young guy who was kind of had achieved all of the milestones, had done really well in school, was heading off into the internship, had got the graduate programme, and he kind of was heading off home one Friday evening, and his kind of more senior, let's call him his boss, walked out after him, was accompanying him. He goes, "I've just noticed now, this is your second Friday to head home at 5 o'clock. He said, "You know, there's drinks and we kind of tend to work on, and we come in on Saturdays as well, and you have them here, and these things are noticed." And he was like, "Oh, okay." And then he handed in his notice the following Friday, and he said, "Like, that's not the future I want. This is a great place to work. Yes, you have great opportunities, but that's not the life that I want at 40 or 45. And he just made the decision at that early point.
That takes a lot of confidence to do that.
I think it does, but the narrative is shifting around that in the wider community, I think, Claire. I mean, the notion of the ideal worker, where you start work and you stay in that job for the remainder of your career and everything else takes second place to your work.
Mm-hmm.
People are stepping away from that. And in fact, that sociocultural narrative denies many women the opportunity to return to the workplace if they've been out of the paid workplace for caring or raring reasons. And it also denies many men who are fathers the opportunity to spend time with their children. And in fact, they are kind of almost programmed to intensify their work during those years. So there's lots of shifts that are happening, mm-hmm, that help everybody. And yes, young people are saying, "You know what? I want something different. I don't want to spend 70 hours per week in a job. I want to be able to live life and to work."
So you want to try with the Total Reset to give people the tools to understand careers and how they should work. Is that it? The basic concepts?
Absolutely. And we're not taught those. You know, we're all, as you said, from the very youngest age, we're asked, what do you want to be when you grow up? And then suddenly you find yourself grown up and you're not sure what you want to be. And you haven't been given this very basic skills of like, what's a job? What's the difference between a job and a career? How do I navigate when I decide that I want to change my job or change my career? How do I go about that? What's the difference between a skill, a transferable skill, a technical skill, a human skill? And they're called soft skills. And if there's one thing that I would love to come off this book is that people don't refer to them as soft skills anymore. Soft skills are like your negotiation skills, your communication skills, your ability to take data and convert it into easy to understand pieces of information. It's your ability to meet people and talk to them. It's the real human aspects of work. And they very often are undervalued. They're highly prioritised, but yet still undervalued. And they're the parts of work and our skill set that are going to make us, as humans, very bright in a ChatGPT AI futured workplace.
Very topical at the moment.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think though, listening to you, it comes back to what I said earlier, I feel, about confidence and self-esteem and being able to say, this is what I want to do. This is what I'm enjoying.
Yes.
I don't want to do the things I don't want to do. But a lot of people, I think in the past, certainly felt pressurised to have the income, the career path. And even if they weren't particularly enjoying it, they had to stick with it.
Absolutely. And there's two things that you touch on there. I mean, we all need financial security. So there's, I'm not suggesting that that's not a priority for us all. We need it. I mean, we know that everybody is kind of suffering with the cost of living crisis at the moment. So financial security is something that we all need. And that's a priority. And there are some seasons of life in your career when it is actually not necessarily about enjoying your work. It's about putting a roof over your head and it's about putting food on the table. But then there are other seasons when it is about success. And what does success mean to you personally? And very often what somebody else defines as success just feels awful for you. And while it might look perfect from the outside, when you are sitting in that version of success yourself, it might feel awful. So it's about, as you say, the confidence, but I think really courage to say, actually, my definition of success during this moment in my life is X. And this is why I want that version of success for me. And then what other people think or what they care about doesn't actually impact you as much because you've made a decision and choices that are best for you during this season of your life.
See, I think if you take that model and if you use it for school leavers, and I always think it's just so hard, isn't it?
Oh,
you're 17, 18, now make up your mind what you'd like to do for the rest of your life.
Yes.
It's crazy stuff.
It's really wrong, actually.
But if you take what you're saying, you're only making your mind up for this period of your life and things can change when you're 23 or 25 or 35.
Or 45 or 55. So we now know that the biggest demographic in the workplace is actually women aged 45 to 65. And they're coming in and going into actually starting their careers. I don't mean starting their careers, but entering into a second phase of a curvy career at that point. So yes, school leavers, if there's the one thing I could say to school leavers, please, like, choosing a career at 17 and deciding you're going to stay in it for the rest of your life is like making the decision that you're going to buy a pair of jeans today and wear them for the rest of your life without ever wearing any other pair of trousers, a skirt, anything else.
Yeah.
You just wear the same thing for the rest of your life. Nobody would expect you to do that. Just the same as your career. Nobody should expect that when you choose something at 17, we now know from research in psychology, neuroscience and so on, that you're not actually at an age of cognitive maturity until you're approximately 23 to 25. So actually making a choice at 17 that you would expect to stay in for the remainder of your life is just grossly unfair.
What do they do though? You know, because they're in that position, you know, filling out the CAOs at the moment and their change of minds and all of that.
Yes. So what I would say to people that are in that position is you, exactly as you said, you're making a choice for this season of your life. Most likely, the course that you do in college or the apprenticeship that you do or whatever choice it is that you make about the next step in your education, you will, that's a collection of skills. You are learning how to learn. The next part is about applying that learning in the workplace. So everything that you learn is transferable. Everything. So if you're a science student, for example, sitting in UCD today, you're already sitting beside physios, you're sitting beside med students, you're sitting beside ag science students. There are core skills to according to different areas. And they are transferable into wide ranges of places. So let's just take, for example, Fionnuala Meehan, who used to head out Google in Ireland. She's a history graduate from Trinity, heading a global tech business. So what you do in college teaches you how to learn.
But don't let it restrict your career choices.
Don't let it restrict. It's transferable.
You know, I'm thinking about Bernie Collins, who we spoke to a little earlier, who's involved in Formula One at a very senior level and is now going on to front the Sky Sports coverage. Just such an exciting career ahead of her and
Amazing.
Behind her. But she was saying that she was always interested in maths and physics, but
yes.
nobody really said to her, you could have a career in engineering and Formula One. You know, that she
yes.
felt she couldn't see the options when she
yes.
was in secondary school and university. The horizon wasn't there for her.
Yeah, and that's the thing. The options are changing every day. So as you begin to mature in your career, you begin to evaluate and self-evaluate. So I would always say to people, you know, organize yourself and think about momentous moments. They're the big things that you're achieving on an ongoing basis. And keep a document open on your desktop, call it momentous moments. And as you go through your career, just add to it
mm-hmm.
and begin to put the big things that are happening in there.
Okay.
And then you can begin to see maybe a pattern developing.
Now, some listener feedback here. Can your speaker help? That's Sinead. My husband is in his mid-50s. He's so unhappy in his job, but due to financial reasons, he can't leave. She'd love to speak to someone to find out what he should do, but they're just not sure where to go from here.
Yeah, so there's a couple of different things. It's really hard when you've, you know, financially restricted within a job that you're not necessarily, or a career that you're not necessarily enjoying. So what I would say in the first instance is there's a couple of small things that you can do. Begin to break your job down into the function of your job. So your function describes the technical thing that you do, that thing that you go in and you know you're going to do every single day. So look at the function of your job and say, okay, so is it the technical aspect of what I do, the function of what I do that I enjoy or I don't enjoy? And then separate that out and go, is it the environment that I'm doing it in? And that's kind of your colleagues, your team, the organization that you're within, the wider industry that you're working in.
Mm-hmm.
And begin to think, okay, so maybe it's colleagues, maybe somebody in management has changed recently.
So if I was doing the same function in another organisation, how would I feel?
Correct. And then if you look at it and go, well, actually, it's the function, but I like my organisation, then begin to look to see if there's upskilling, reskilling or retraining opportunities, because organisations are trying to retain people at the moment and they're willing to help retrain them or to help you to do something part-time if you so wish.
Mm-hmm.
If it's both function and environment, that's a different story. But there are things that you can do very practically. Job crafting is an option. So it's looking for what you do that you really enjoy within your role and then playing to your skills and trying to integrate more of that into your job on a daily basis. And if you're in a position to delegate some of the things that you don't enjoy as much.
Well, there are always options. That's
Correct.
What you're saying.
Yes.
No matter what situation you're in, there are always options. And one of the options you could take, a listener, is to go out and get Sinead's new book. It's called Total Reset, Quit Living to Work and Start Working to Live by Sinead Brady. And Sinead,
thank you so
it was
much,
lovely
Claire.
To have you here. Thank you for coming in. Now, coming up next on the programme, Barry Cowan on that statement in the Dáil yesterday, where he compared extending the eviction ban to making sweets free for children. That's next.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.